go ahead and call the Finance Committee meeting to order. Five after two, May 2nd, 2007. I'd like to remind everybody to turn off their cell phones and their Blackberries and other devices. With me today is Senator Olson, Senator Elton, Senator Thomas, Senator Dyson. We're going to hear two bills today. We're going to reverse the order to get the meeting moving. First, we're going to have Senate Bill 124 up, Alaska Workforce Investment Board allocation. Then we'll follow that with Senate Bill 125, the PERS cost share bill. We will not be hearing testimony on Senate Bill 104, the AGIA gas line. We'll start that again at 9 o'clock in the morning in case anybody's here for that. I think there's action on the other end of the hall today. We'll pick that testimony up tomorrow. We're going to start with Senate Bill 124, the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. The intent here is not to move the bill, but to have an introduction by the bill sponsor, take some public testimony, and allow members to ask questions. With us to present the bill today is Senator Donnie Olson, and I think his trusty staff member, David Gray, and Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Senate Bill 124 is one of the bills that I introduced because if we're going to get serious about what's going to be happening with this natural gas pipeline, we're going to need a trained workforce out there to go ahead and meet the needs that are going to be out there. And this has been in cooperation with the university and a number of other sites to go ahead and meet the needs that we're anticipating are going to be out there in the next couple of years. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have my Chief of Staff, David Gray, come up to the podium and present the details of the bill, which I feel is very important and very appropriate at this time if we are indeed serious about a trained workforce in the future.
Mr. Gray, if you could go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and state who you work for, and then go ahead and introduce the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Dave Gray. I'm staff to Senator Donald Olson, the sponsor of the bill. Initially, the senator introduced the bill for some Voc-Tech efforts in the Nome area. Subsequently, received communication from Alaska Work Products and the university that we should consider expanding this bill into a broader effort to, in anticipation of the gas line construction requirements, and that and so this bill came forward, and the structure that really they presented exists in the pretty much in the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute. So that substitute does two things. First of all, it increases the contribution to the Alaska Voc-Tech education program in the UI benefits by a half of 1%, which brings more money into the program. There's you really kind of have to look at the fiscal note to see the impact, but the first is the increase to the amount of money that can be used for vocational technical training. And then if you look at the second part of the bill, it shows the distribution of what has existed in the past, and then as well as new elements that have been added that maybe receive funds from this source. One of them is, of course, the Northwest Alaska Career and Technical Center in Nome. Another is the Delta Career Advancement Center. And a third is the Alaska Works the Works Partnership, which really is a consolidation of many union training programs that are available to both union and non-union Alaskans. And really, in part, they have worked in conjunction with the university on throughout their campus of the state on some things, as well as with some of these other technical centers that are throughout, particularly the rural regions. One of the things, just to look at it, is that you can see what the existing percentages of the program where, like, say, for the University of Alaska, if the bill doesn't do pass or anything, then those entities like the university will still receive money from this source. The changes that you see are the percentages are really not a decrease in the amount of funds that those entities would get, because there is a larger pot of money. So in almost all cases, everybody receives more funds than they would originally. With that, Mr. Chairman, available for questions, and I know there's people from the department here on some details, and as well as some people online.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for Mr. Gray on the bill sponsor? Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. This is my first opportunity to kind of hear about the bill. How did you go about selecting which schools would get funds and which wouldn't?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, the initial selection was recommended by a joint effort with the University and Alaska Work Products. Their recommendation was to include the Delta Career Advancement Center. We originally had suggested the North Arctic Career like that, and that was suitable to them also.
Yeah, if I may follow up. So I'm just wondering if there are other schools out in our state that are doing a good job of training people for applicable trades here that didn't even get considered and didn't even get notified that there was a chance to get in on this funding.
Through
the chair, Senator Dyson, I'm not certain that there was a broad solicitation. I'm not aware of that. I do know that the university is aware of a lot of programs that they're involved in network, and so also is Alaska Work Partnership that I believe has reached out to different areas like to provide different kinds of Voc Tech. I think the principal effort here, university does a lot of different things, the nursing programs and something like this. The focus here is on kind of pipeline construction, and I think that was really kind of the direction that people were soliciting participation.
Okay. Other questions, or do you have an additional follow-up?
Yeah, I heard what you said. What I worry is that only government schools or union schools got considered, and that there might be other private institutions out there that are doing a good job in applicable trades that don't get a shot at it and didn't. And I think you've just said you don't know, and I appreciate that.
Thank you. Other questions for Mr. Gray, the co-sponsor? Anybody from the department would like to come forward and speak to the bill?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Guy Bell. I'm the Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development. We have submitted a fiscal note to accompany the bill, and I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Seeing none. Let's go to to Anchorage, Mr. Mike Andrews. If you can introduce yourself and who you represent and speak to the bill, please.
Thank you, Chairman Stebbins. My name is Mike Andrews. I'm the director of Alaska Works Partnership Incorporated. I reside in Eagle River. I'm testifying today in support of Senator Olson's bill and the committee substitute for Senate Bill 124. This legislation, if enacted, will significantly increase the ability of our state to train workers for good-paying jobs in Alaska, particularly those in construction and pipeline construction jobs. We have enjoyed long-term good relationships with the rural training centers mentioned in this bill, particularly Utah of Arnett, Southwest Alaska Vocational Education Center in King Salmon, NACTEC in Nome, and the Delta Career Advancement Center, as well as AvTech in Seward and the University of Alaska and its rural campuses. We've trained hundreds of workers from Western Alaska and rural and remote communities over the past several years, and also in Fairbanks and Anchorage, Southeast Alaska. Recently, we trained 20 high school students from Southeast Alaska for construction jobs. They stopped by last week to visit with the legislature. Currently, we're training electrical and plumbing courses for AVCP housing from 12 villages in Western Alaska. We recently completed electrical training for Bristol Bay Housing Authority. We're also helping recruit and train for new roads in Bethel. We just completed courses for 120 adults in basic skills at the Keene Career Center for the Anchorage Construction Academy. We're also working together with the Greater Kenai, or Greater Ketchikan Home Builders Industry Association and other home builders to expand training to their areas. All of these training programs serve non-union workers. We train without regard to union or union membership. Alaska Works is happy to report today that this bill enjoys the support of the Associated General Contractors of Alaska, various chapters of the Alaska State Home Builders Association, the North Slope Contractors Association. Alaska Works also works closely with 12 school districts around the state. I called around today to talk with some employers to see if they would support the bill. The timing was short. They couldn't testify today, but they did say I would mention their support. Bristol Bay Housing Authority, Neisser Construction, HC Price Construction, and Wilder Construction, and these represent the broad range of construction entities in the state who build the commercial buildings, homes, schools, roads, and pipelines in rural and urban Alaska. I'd like to take a moment and respond to Senator Dyson's question about the selection of schools in this bill. If I can, through the chair, Senator Dyson, there have been for several years entities selected by the legislature for technical vocational education program dollars, including the University of Alaska, Avtech, Stavec in King Salmon, Ute and LaVarnet in Bethel, and the Galena Regional Training Center. What we saw was a need to expand to more facilities where people can learn, places to learn such as the Delta Career Advancement Center, and certainly in Nome at NACTEC. Alaska Works is engaged because we're constructing a pipeline training facility in Fairbanks that will serve the state and for construction trades. So I just want to add that we certainly hope that you'll pass this bill forward to the next committee so we can move forward to train Alaskans. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Anders. Senator Thomas, you have a question for Mr. Anders?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're all very interested in vocational education these days. We talk about it quite a bit. I heard you mention school districts, but I did not hear you mention anything regarding the military. We have a lot of younger military folks getting out of the Army. Do you have any outreach to those folks?
Through the chair, Senator Thomas, I appreciate the question. Yes, we operate a statewide Helmets to Hard Hats program provides outreach to veterans and spouses, Alaska National Guard and Alaska Reserves. We meet with them before they go overseas and when they return from their assignments and as they retire to recruit and draw them into Alaska's construction industry. It's a very active program, and we're one of two states in the nation that has its own single program.
Okay, thank you.
What was the name of the program again?
Helmets to Hard Hats.
Helmets to Hard Hats?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. We'll go now to Michael Sexton from Fairbanks. If you could please identify yourself and who you represent and testify on the bill, please.
Hi, thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today before your committee on Senate Bill number 124. My name is Mike Sexton, and I'm the Executive Director of the Mechanical Contractors of Fairbanks, and I'm here today representing Alaska contractors in the welding, plumbing, and pipe fitting industry. Our contractors do tens of millions of dollars of work which each year in Alaska, and we work very hard to hire local Alaskan workers. We support the effort of Senator Donnie Olson of Nome in expanding the TVEP program to include additional funds for other entities who have shown a commitment to train and hire local workers, such as the Northwest Arctic Tech Center, Delta Career Center, Delta Career Advancement Center, and Alaska Works. Our contractors have worked with Alaska Works to deliver training to rural Alaska and hire rural workers. For the last 6 or 7 years, Alaska Works has been active on our behalf all over rural Alaska, recruiting rural Alaskans to go to training and to work in the construction industry from Kotzebue to Nome to Bethel, King Salmon, in southeast Alaska, in the Mat-Su Valley, and in dozens of other rural communities. The expansion and reauthorization of the TVEP program will go a long way in getting Alaskans trained for the thousands of jobs the industry will need over the next 10 years. It will also help provide funds for the operation of the Fairbanks Pipeline Training Center. And on behalf of our employers in Alaska, I ask that you support the efforts of Senator Olson and move the bill onto the floor of the Senate for a vote. And thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony today. Do we have anybody from the audience that would like to come forward? Seeing Mr. Guy Bell raise his hand, if he could come forward and back into the hot seat and talk about the physical notes. There's two physical notes in the pack, one from the University of Alaska dated the 30th, one from the Department of Labor dated April 27th. You should also have a one-page spreadsheet titled Senate Bill 124, Allocation Changes to Alaska Workforce Investment. That illustrates how allocation changes with the current CS. And if you could walk us through those fiscal notes, please. You thought you were going to get off easy.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Guy Bell, Assistant Commissioner, Department of Labor and Workforce Development. I'll jump to page 3 of the fiscal note. I think it's easier to describe what's happening by looking at page 3 of the fiscal note. What page 3 shows is the estimated revenue associated with the TVEP program prior to this legislation, along with the estimated and carry forward and cost of administering the program, and then along with it the distribution that was contemplated in the original fiscal year 08 budget to the entities that had already been identified in the original allocation formula for the TVEP program. That total distribution would have been $6,043,000 less the collection cost. And you can see the distribution by entity listed, starting with the University of Alaska through the People's Learning Center in Bethel, otherwise called UTE. And the new proposal would increase the total amount available for distribution by $2.887 million. And in addition to that, just in the past week, we have had a revised and increased revenue estimate for the program for next fiscal year, absent this change, and then it would also add to the revenue with this change. And we factored that into the revised fiscal note that you see here, so that the total distribution or the total amount available for distribution increases by $3.12 million, which is more than the expected revenue increase by virtue of this legislation. The expected revenue or allocation increase to TVEP by virtue of the 0.05% increase is $2,887,000. This fiscal note shows an total distribution increase of $3.12 million because we have increased our revenue estimate for the program. So that the fiscal note and associated support documents indicate is the distribution by entity of the the funding that would be allocated through the new allocation formula. And each entity to receive funds that is currently receiving funding would receive an increase. And of course, those entities which are being added, of course, would also, of course, see an increase. So that's just a quick synopsis of the distribution of the dollars.
Do we have any questions for Mr. Bell? Thank you, Mr. Bell.
Sure.
Do we have any closing comments from Senator Olson before we set this bill aside?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank the members of the committee for hearing this bill. Certainly, it is something that we've been looking at and trying to go ahead and gear up and plan for what's going to be happening in the future. And this is one of the best ways to make sure that the benefits that come from this mega project is going to benefit Alaskans as opposed to having to import expertise from outside the state. With that, thank you very much for hearing this bill.
Thank you, Senator Olson. With that, we're going to move on to Senate Bill 125, a cost share bill dealing with the retirement funds of most of the municipalities around the state. We have a new CS today that should incorporate all of the issues that we've discussed. The intent is to move the bill today. And Senator Hoffman, can we have a motion, please?
Which bill is that?
125, version O.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move Senate Bill 125.
As our working draft.
As our working draft.
Working document, yeah. With updated fiscal notes. With updated fiscal notes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. We have with us version O. We have updated fiscal notes. We have a side-by-side comparison. And we have a five-page spreadsheet. We also have Mr. Miles Baker at the end of the table, who is ready, willing, and able to walk through the fiscal notes in the packet with us. We also have in the audience members of the Department of Administration that could help walk through some of the changes and or answer questions. Mr. Baker, if you could identify yourself for the record, please, and who you work for, and then proceed.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Miles Baker, staff to Senator Stedman. And before you is the new CS work draft version O. Most all of this we discussed before the committee in the last CS over the weekend. What was missing when we did it, I believe Sunday or Saturday, was the side-by-side. So you do have a side-by-side now, which is done for the current CS. So what I thought I would do is just, instead of walking you through the whole CS again, you now have the side-by-side, and I would just kind of point out the changes in this CS versus the last one. And the first change, Mr. Chairman, is section 4 on page 3, which is the bottom of the first page in your side-by-side. On line 5 on page 3, there was some concern that when we talked about the percentages that employers would contribute, we referred to the section of statute when we talked about how the 22% in the using the PERS as an example, how the 22% would be allocated. There was some concern that we didn't really clarify that the 3% employers have to contribute to the health reimbursement arrangement is comes out of the 22%. And the reason that was a bit confusing is because the HRA is set up in a separate part of statute. So just to clarify that, we cleaned up the existing statutes a little bit, which is in section 4, just to, so that's new, that whole section 4 on page 3 is new, and it just clarifies that the health reimbursement arrangement contributions are established in AS 3933-70, not in 3933-100. The next change is on page 9, section 17, which is line 6, and that's on page 4 of the side-by-side, if you're following along. But same thing here. This is just amending the current section within the PERS statute. The previous reference was for the TERS statute. Oh, I'm sorry. Wrong. I'm sorry. That's not the right section. It's section 19 on page 9 is the change. So line 14. So just a slight change to existing statutes that we've added to the bill to clarify, so that now when this bill passes and we're talking about the 22% and we refer you to the section of statute that instructs employers how they allocate the 22%, it will cross-reference to the appropriate section of the health reimbursement, the health reimbursement account for the 3%. The other change, the most substantial change, Mr. Chairman, is in section 21, and that's what you can refer to the spreadsheet to help you. I know last time we had three different spreadsheets. This time we tried to combine it into one with the help of legislative finance. So it's one spreadsheet. It's 5 pages long. And there had been some concern that when we did the hold harmless provision, we only looked at municipal PERS employers, and we've got 160 employers, and we're moving them all to a cost share. We're moving them all to 22%. So we went back and did the hold harmless provision to include all PERS employers, and as well as the school districts who also have a PERS component. Those were not in the previous CS. So section 21 is what lays that out. Subsection A, again, just sets the rate, the appropriate rate for FY08, which will allow those employers who had paid excess into the system over the last 3 years to recoup that excess amount. And then subsection B sets the rate for employers for the next 4 fiscal years, FY09 through 12, which is the hold harmless 5-year provision that brings some parity to those people that their rate was substantially below 22, so moving them to a 22% rate, they would be actually paying more. And then, so the idea was some parity with the employers who are substantially above 22 and are going to see a substantial savings in their general fund budget. So on the spreadsheet, this is the spreadsheet that kind of justifies the percentages that are in the bill. The first 2 pages of the spreadsheet deal with the PERS political subdivisions. The third page are the PERS, what kind of are referred to as the PERS other, people like Bering Strait or the Alaska Municipal League, the Southeast Regional Resource Center, Tlingit-Haida Regional Housing Authority, those sorts of folks. The fourth page deals with the school districts, and the fifth page is the total. And the spreadsheet is similar to the ones you saw in the past, where we just kind of walks you through what the wage base is expected to be, what their 07 rate was, how much they paid in 07 based on the 07 rate, what the board, the ARM board, was recommending they pay in 08, What the savings in that rate or the increase in that rate based on the 22% fix, and that's in column 7, so that shows you the gain loss at the 22% rate. And using the political subdivisions as the first example, you'll see the city of Fairbanks at the top with an 88% savings or a credit, if you will, of $11.6 million, because the 22% is substantially below the 184 that the ARM board had set. And then at the bottom on page 2, you'll see the communities that have a negative in column 7 because they were moving from a rate that was below 22 up to 22. And so for those communities in column 9, you will see that's the hold harmless provision. If there's an amount in column 9, it means those communities are getting credited with what we're calling the hold harmless. And basically, we said if your rate was below 22% in either FY07 or FY08, based on what the board adopted rate was supposed to be, we took the lower of those rates and applied that to your FY08 payroll base, and that gives you the credit. And then we recalculated that in column 10. And then columns 12 through 18, for all those communities that paid an excess amount, either in 05, 06, or 07, and if you recall, the legislature had provided municipal assistance in 06 and 07. Many communities paid their what rate they were supposed to pay, plus applied that to their contributions. And so we totaled those in row 15. So as a group, using the political subdivisions on page 2, you'll see that as a group, there was which is at the bottom of column 15, there were $7.1 million in excess paid by those communities. And so for FY08, we've adjusted their rates so that they can recoup that amount in the first fiscal year, in the next fiscal year after this bill passes. And then some of those communities were also communities that would have been below 22 and were being harmed by moving up to 22. So their hold harmless was then factored in, and it gets us to the final rate, which is in column 19, 20, and 21. So anybody that has a rate in column 19 should be in the bill in section 21, subsection A, because it means they have a rate that's different than 22 for next fiscal year. And anybody that has a rate in column 20 or 21.
We'll just take a brief at it. Just need to get your. Go ahead, Mr. Baker.
Mr. Chairman, I was just saying then, so going to column 19, 20, and 21, columns 20 and 21, then if there's a percentage in either of those columns, they should be in section 21 of the bill also. And you can just walk through, and it's the layout is the same, so you'll see on page 3, everyone on page 3 was not in the last version of the CS because we had not included PERS other. So you'll see that there's one, if you look at the bottom of column 9, there's $1.1 million in hold harmless being added to the fiscal note of the bill in order to hold those employers held harmless. And the corresponding rates for them is in column 21. And if you go to page 4 of the spreadsheet, these are all the school districts. And you'll see that starting at Nenana City School District was the first one that whose rate at either the 07 or the 08 board rate was below 22. So we're giving them back a hold harmless credit of $58,000. And if you go across to column 21, you'll see that that results in a hold harmless rate for the next 5 years for them of 17.79%. And then all of these people at the end of the 5 years would go to the 22% rate. So that adds $1.1 million to the fiscal note to hold those school districts harmless. And if you go to the last page, page 5, you see the totals there. So the total hold harmless provision is $5.1 million, and that would be recurring annually. That's $5.1 million annually for the next 5 years. It probably will adjust slightly as those payroll bases for those employers fluctuate, but it's roughly $5.1 million annually. The state will kick in addition to what we'll be kicking in above 22% on everybody, we will kick in $5.1 million on these employers. So Dotna, if you recall, had put in $1 million excess in 05, so there was no way for them to recoup immediately in 08 because their contribution wasn't high enough in 08, even with a 0% contribution rate, to recoup. So instead of having Soldotna recoup in 08, we just added them to the hold harmless and figured out what their rate should be over the next 5 years, which adds the $255,000 back. So the total FY08 cost of hold harmless is $5.3 million. And then if you add the one-time FY08 rebate cost to the state, that's an additional $7.194. So the total fiscal note for FY08 for this portion of the bill is $12.579 million. And then in the outgoing years for the next 4 years, you have to subtract out the FY08 rebate. So in the outgoing years, by setting these rates lower for these select group of employers, the state will pay an additional $5.3 million. And, Mr. Chairman, I think all that is in the new fiscal note, and I think the department is prepared to come up and talk about the fiscal note.
Okay, if you have somebody from the department come forward, please. Fairly extensive spreadsheets. And you could identify yourself and who you represent and walk us through the physical notes themselves. I'd appreciate it.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Kevin Brooks. I'm Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Administration. And I want to first, I'll thank Miles for working so diligently on the spreadsheet, because as we've been able to work through the numbers, the fiscal note kind of fell into place pretty well. But it is very complicated, so I'll ask your indulgence as we step through it. Just to put it into context, the governor's budget was based on rates that were developed last fall. And the state as an employer was calculated at that time a PERS rate of 44%. The average PERS employers was, I think, about 39%. The operating budget that's making its way through those in that budget, in the operating bill, the increases for that rate increase were backed out. So right now, what's in the operating budget is for the state as an employer is about 22.5%, which is what our current FY07 rate is. And so we kind of use that as our starting point to get to the numbers that are in this fiscal note. And so as we went, I guess I would add too is that in HB 95, I think is the vehicle, there's $180 million appropriations for PERS. and that number has to be taken into account when you look at the FY08 column on the fiscal note. So where you see 193,113.2, that number, that reflects the 180 that's already in the bill. So it's really just the differential 13.1 that would need to be added as a result of the fiscal note. So just so everyone can take a big sigh of relief, we don't need another $193 million to deal with this piece of legislation. But that number is tied to the hold harmless provisions of the bill and the in the heroes list that Miles just talked about. And so the hold harmless is about $5.4 million. The rebate provision is another $7.2 million, so that gets us to $12.6 million. And then the other $500,000 difference, I guess, to get the 13.1 is just in the formulas that came out. We needed 180.5. 180 is currently in the bill, so it was $500,000 difference on that. And I think that's just a factor of the amount that got put into HB 95.
If I could just add, I mean, there's some, just depending on which numbers you run, you're always going to get a little bit of a difference, because these are the actuaries using projected salaries for all these employers. So we're projecting what we're expected to pay in 08. They're doing their valuation on, you know, on 05, and so there's some movement there. But so even though it sounds like a $500,000 rounding error, there's the it's just the mechanics of, unfortunately, trying to project these things forward.
Any other comments you want to make on the fiscal notes?
Mr. Chairman, that's all the comments I have. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions for the administration? Speaker, Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, as you look at the fiscal note, you talked about subtracting $180 million from the 193.1, and next year in 2009, it's 218.287. Do you also subtract that $180 million out of that? Or is it just the one-year subtraction?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, in the outgoing years, the full amount of that appropriation will be required, because what the way the bill is set up is any amount over 22% is going to be the obligation of the state to cover, and so that's going to be an annual appropriation that will not be rolled into the base, as I understand that. So I think next year, the number that will be required is 218.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And then that would just, if I could follow up on that, it will continue to rise for one more year, and then we'll start to see that the downward trend kick in on the rates that we've built into the piece of legislation.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? With that, we'll go to, on the off net, we'll go to Mr. Larry Simmons, City of Kenai. Mr. Simmons.
Hello, Mr. Chairman. My name is Larry Simmons. I'm a finance director at the City of Kenai, and I too would just like to thank the administration and the your staff and the legislature for your hard work on this bill, and I'm very pleased with the result, and I totally support moving the bill forward. Just to report, the ARM board had a special meeting today, and we passed a resolution that said that basically if the bill keeps moving forward and passes in its present form, that the ARM board would support lowering the employer average rate to 32.51%. So I just want to say thank you for your work and good job, and I'm in support of moving the bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons, and we appreciate your interest and hard work that you've put into the whole retirement cleanup that's been underway for the last several years.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Do we have anybody from the audience that would like to come forward? Ms. Wasserman. If you could identify yourself for the record.
For the record, my name is Kathy Wasserman with the Alaska Municipal League. On behalf of the cities and boroughs within the state of Alaska, we would like to thank everyone for their hard work on this bill. We're in full support of this bill. We realized that we needed to move forward and get some results and solutions. And first of all, there are some people that played some very key parts and that we would especially like to thank, and that's Annette Kreitzer from the Department of Admin and Melanie Milhorn and Miles Baker and yourself, Senator, and Larry Simmons and Michael Lamb, who I have them on my speed dial and certainly couldn't have made it through this far without them on AML's behalf. We value all the work that's been put into this, and we feel very, very lucky to be in a position where we can see some closure to, or at least partway closure to, a very, very huge controversial issue that has, I know, caused a lot of strife among AML members and outside of AML. So again, we thank you for everything that you've done, and I know back in January I would have never thought that I would know this much about PERS, or know a lot more than I wanted to.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I realize all the work that's gone into this bill, but there is no rhyme or reason to the problems that people are experiencing above the 22%. And I think that that goes to the chairman when he looked at resolving this problem. But there still is some inequities in what I perceive as assistance to those communities. And we are still contemplating a revenue sharing bill that can try to bring some resemblance of fairness to the other communities that aren't participating in PERS. We're looking forward to that. And I would assume that the Municipal League still feels that the revenue sharing program with some resemblance of fairness to offset the big beneficiaries of this particular piece of legislation is still needed.
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, you bet. Thank you very much, sir. We're also, we know it's not over till it's over, so we're also hoping that there will be some cast infusions to help those that are left below the line where they need to be. Excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. Any other questions? Thank you, Kathy. Anybody else would like to come forward and speak to the bill? Any final comments from the committee members? May I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, just under final comments, thanks. I think you and your staff did a great job.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move.
Wait.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt version O of Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 125 as our working document.
Here we have a motion to adopt version O as our working document. Seeing no objections, we have version O as our working document. And Mr. Hoffman, if you could make a motion to move the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move out CS for Senate Bill 125, version O, dated 5-2 by Wayne, with individual recommendations and the accompanying fiscal notes.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Hoffman. We have a motion to move the bill with the attached fiscal notes, and which would include the attached spreadsheets. Seeing no objection, we'll go ahead and move the bill from committee, and I would like to thank all the committee members for their work through this process. It's lasted several months, and we're getting closer to the retirement system cleanup as we speak. That concludes the committee's business today. Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., we're going to start on Senate Bill 104, AGEA, again. And we're going to hear from Mr. David Keene, Vice President, Policy and Corporate Affairs from BG North America. And then we're going to hear from Mr. Dan Dickinson, who is a consultant hired by Legislative Budget and Audit, which will walk through some accounting and some other issues. With that, the meeting is adjourned. See everybody at 9 a.m.